From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Oh, these 40 days. How will you spend these 40 days of Lent? The National Catholic Register has some tips for Lenten living. I'm Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio. Lent, the penitential liturgical season of the Church, is upon us. This season begins on Ash Wednesday and consists of 40 days, not including Sundays. And of course, during this time, the Church calls us to prayer, almsgiving or charity, and fasting. This season isn't intended really to be a time of self-help, although some of us tend to use it that way. We pray every day because it's our obligation or because we really need more discipline in our prayer lives, and we take this opportunity to discipline ourselves. Or we give up something. We have the added benefit of losing weight when we give up something. But we also might participate in Operation Rice Bowl and set aside a little bit of change to give to the poor, but really this season is supposed to be a lot more than that. This is supposed to be a season of drawing us closer to Christ, a season helping us to be more Christ-like. And it takes a lot more than a little bit of change in our pocket put into Operation Rice Bowl, little cardboard box, to make us more holy. This is a time to prepare us. It's a boot camp to prepare us to enter into the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope the National Catholic Register can help you to live this Lent a little bit better. To do so, in the Register's print edition every year, we offer a Lenten guide. And this helps you along in your Lenten journey. Our guide explains the signs and the symbols of Lent. For example, why do the priest wear purple, the purple vestments? It also explains the significance of 40 days. We offer suggestions for little sacrifices during Lent. And of course, the Way of the Cross, which is said every Friday and for some, even every day. This is my favorite type of coverage at the Register because we have the opportunity to be very, very creative. We celebrate Lent every single year, so we have to look for ways of bringing something new to you, making this season new. What can you do differently? For this show, we're going to talk to Emily Stimson Chapman, who's been a senior editor at our Sunday Visitor for a very long time. She's also been a writer for the Register for a very long time, often taking up features and columns for us. Emily is the author of four books of the last of which is called The Catholic Table. And it's all about the role food plays in Scripture and the life of the Church. It's really a fascinating read, especially if you're a foodie like me. You can find more of her writing about food at thecatholictable.com. But also, she has written this wonderful article called 5 Reasons to Fast This Lent. In our need for food, we discover our need for Christ. Well, Emily, it's so great to have you to talk about a very important topic on which you wrote a column for the Register recently. And this is how the column began. Jesus did it. The apostles and the early Christians did it. The fathers and the doctors of the Church did it. And almost any saint you can think of did it. What did they do? They fasted. And I thought that was just such a very great intro into this column. Because the fact of the matter is that we just don't fast very often. At least we don't fast on a daily basis or a weekly basis. We might fast during Lent on the prescribed days, but we don't fast. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. I think that at times people have worried that perhaps fasting is legalism, perhaps they're being too scrupulous. You know, of course, what they really need to do is fast from, a lack of charity. So they prioritize one good, being charitable, over another, fasting. We kind of approach spiritual practices with an either-or mindset. But also, we live in a culture of abundance. we actually do fast, but we don't call it fasting. We diet. You know, we're always restricting what we eat for the sake of our body, but we don't think about restricting what we eat for the sake of our soul. We've lost that spiritual practice, particularly over the past 40 or 50 years.
Sure. And really the point of fasting is to allow ourselves to feel hunger. So we don't eat food in abundance on a day that we're fasting because we want to allow ourselves to feel hunger. Why is that good for us?
Well, I don't know about you, Jeanette, but when I am hungry, I get crabby and irritable, and I have to work really hard to be kind to people. But what I see is that sort of vestige that we put up of kindness and nicety. I see how quickly that's all pulled away. You know, fasting reduces us to who we really are, and we're sinners, we're weak, we're vulnerable. If we're not fed on a regular basis, we can lack charity in many ways. And so in that, we're reminded that what we really need is God. You know, in our hunger, we hunger for God. We depend on God. We depend on God for grace so that we can do good acts. We depend on God for natural virtues so that we can do good things. We're dependent creatures, and fasting reminds us of just how weak and vulnerable we really are.
So what are some of your recommendations on how to fast?
I think that, you know, different people are, if you have never fasted, it's probably not a good idea to decide to live on bread and water for the next 40 days. You know, we have to learn to strengthen our spiritual muscles and our ability to fast. So Lent is a great time to start little fasts. Maybe it's just fasting from cream and sugar in your coffee, or maybe it's fasting from sweets. I mean, all of us during Lent should be fasting from something. That's one of the primary acts that we're called to in Lent is fasting. Maybe it's skipping a meal. Maybe it's skipping a particular kind of food. But, you know, we start out small and don't go big without the counsel of a spiritual director. You know, charity has to come first. But simply giving up sweets is not going to make you uncharitable or threaten your health in any real way. So those are always good places to start.
Right. I really liked something you said in the column that, you know, even just drinking your coffee black, and I have a really hard time giving up coffee in general, but, you know, fasting from you know, having the coffee the way I like it is a good way to go about it. And maybe eventually I build up the ability to give up coffee altogether or a couple times a week, whatever. But I thought that it was very important that you stressed the doableness of our fast, because the point is not to torture ourselves. It is to feel the hunger and allow us then to have space for recognizing God and the need for God in our life. So that's a very good tip that you gave us. This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio, and I'm speaking with Emily Stimson, who is a Catholic author who writes currently at thecatholictable.com, a new blog that I encourage our readers to check out. Emily, explain a little bit about what you're doing at that new blog.
Well, I'm talking about the things that I love the most, and that's faith and friendship and hospitality and food. You know, all those things are bound up together. They're bound up in the church, you know, where the sacrifice offered at the Holy Mass is food. Jesus becomes food for us. That helps us become a community. It happens outside of the church when we gather together friends and family around a table. Food is always at the center. It's at the center of our liturgy. It's at the center of our lives. It has this incredible power to draw people together. But we've distorted that. We've made food an idol. You know, we're either always dieting or we're indulging ourselves. And friendships are breaking apart. Families are breaking apart. So I'm using the Catholic table to reflect on food, so there's recipes, but also the deeper meaning of food, how we live friendship, how we build community and practice hospitality so that we can just, you know, start gathering up small bits of our culture that have fragmented. And there's lots of important ways we do that, but I think food, hospitality, and friendship is really at the center.
Yeah, that's so important. I come from New Orleans. That's where I spent most of my early life, and food is a hugely important thing in New Orleans culture, and also it's a very Catholic thing in New Orleans culture. We have a lot of Catholic traditions there that relate to our food, especially you go to any restaurant and you get fish on Fridays any time of the year, and I love that it has that quality. But it also just, I think to enjoy a good meal together really does help center conversation if we take that time to spend with each other while we enjoy a meal. So I'm glad to see your new work, and I hope that it does quite well, and we hope to get you also on Register Radio and in the Register a little bit more frequently. You know, let's turn back to your commentary that you wrote recently, and let's talk about the five reasons in brief that you give for fasting.
Well, first, we fast as an act of repentance. You know, it's a way of saying we're sorry. When we break a relationship, when we do something wrong in our normal day-to-day lives, we might buy someone flowers, or we'll do a special favor for them as a way of making up for what we've done. Well, when you look in the Bible, you can see going all the way back to the Old Testament, when people have sinned against God, they don't just say, "Sorry, God, we screwed up." They fast. You know, they're mourning. Fasting is an act of mourning. It's a way of saying we're sorry. So we fast as an act of repentance. It's also important to fast as a way of, you know, increasing the power of our prayers. That's something else you see in Scripture. When people have serious praying to do, they don't just get down on their knees. They don't eat. You know, they give up something. It adds an urgency to their prayer. It really, in a sense, turns their prayer into an action. We fast in solidarity with Christ, almost to offer him companionship, you know, and when we suffer, we can suffer with him. We can offer that up. We can join our sufferings to Christ, really walking with Christ to Golgotha, in a sense. And the mystics tell us that somehow, even here in 2015, you know, the solidarity with Christ can bring him comfort. You know, it's the comfort of the faithful when he's hanging there on the cross. One you mentioned before was that, you know, we realize who we are. We see how weak and vulnerable we are. It reminds us of how much we need God. So, I mean, there's so many reasons for fasting. Those are just a few. But it is one of the most ancient spiritual practices of the church. And, you know, when we're looking at how we can get our culture and our lives and our families back on track, we have this wonderful, powerful tool that's given to us from tradition. And it's important to take it up and use it again.
I think I'm going to take it up and use it again. Your column really gave me a chance to reconsider why I don't fast. I used to fast when I was much younger. In high school, I fasted sometimes on Wednesdays with my parents because that's when they were fasting. In college, I did the same. And I've completely lost that practice in my life. So I want to reconsider that practice. And Emily, I thank you for standing up and giving us good reasons why we should fast. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jeanette. It was great talking to you.
You can find more of Emily Stimson Chapman's writings at thecatholictable.com and, of course, at ncregister.com. When we come back, I'll talk to Deacon Stephen Graydonis about Lent and the movies. This is Register Radio on EWTN. More when we return.
Sacrifice is a profound virtue Catholics can lovingly embrace, especially during Lent. But this year, why not also indulge in something good for your soul? Give yourself the gift of EWTN's National Catholic Register and stay connected to the latest developments and historical traditions of our Catholic faith. Try the Register for free today and get it delivered to your home, office, or parish. To get your 6 free issues, order online at ncregister.com/radio or call 800-421-3230. And mention code RADIO, the National Catholic Register. It's the one indulgence you won't ever want to give up. Order online today at ncregister.com/radio. The National Catholic Register. Read faithfully.
O Saint Joseph, whose protection is so great, so strong, so prompt before the throne of God, I place in thee all my interests and desires. Do thou, O Saint Joseph, assist me by thy powerful intercession, and obtain for me from thy divine Son all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that, having engaged here below thy heavenly power, I may offer my thanksgiving and homage to the most loving of fathers. O Saint Joseph, I never weary contemplating thee, and Jesus asleep in thy arms. I dare not approach while he reposes so near thy heart. Press him in my name and kiss his fine head for me, and ask him to return the kiss when I draw my dying breath. Saint Joseph, patron of departing souls, pray for me.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. I'm Jeanette DeMello, host of Register Radio and the editor-in-chief of the National Catholic Register. We've been talking about the importance of fasting during Lent, and I don't want to dissuade anyone from fasting from television watching, but the Register does have some great suggestions on Lenten films. Deacon Stephen Graydonis is a film critic for the National Catholic Register. He's the creator of Decent Films. He's a permanent deacon in the Archdiocese of Newark and a member of the New York Film Critics Circle. And he has prepared an article called Mercy and the Movies at ncregister.com. In that article, he offers a movie for each week of Lent. Well, Stephen, we are over a week into Lent, and most of us have probably gotten into a good Lenten routine already, but maybe some of us haven't. Let's start with, how is your Lent going?
You know, it's going pretty well, I think. I don't like to talk too much about what I'm doing for Lent, but I can say that the first full week is probably the most difficult week for me. It's the week when I'm most inclined to cheat on some of the resolutions that I've made. The first 3 days, Ash Wednesday into the first Friday, to me, that's kind of sets the tone for how the rest of my Lent is going to go. So I'm very strict. But then as that first long week wears by, it's a little bit more difficult to stick to it. And then by the second week, I think I'm pretty into it.
You're into a groove. And that groove, let's talk about why we try to get into a groove during Lent to begin with. I mean, it's something we're encouraged to enter into with prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, but often these things can just be ideas. They're really meant to draw us closer to Christ. What is your take on what Lent is all about?
Lent is extremely important for us because we are fallible and fallen creatures, and because we struggle with the effects of original sin, with concupiscence. We have disordered appetites, weakened wills, and darkened intellects. And so we don't start out at a kind of a nice baseline. We are all, in a sense, Christian anthropology teaches us, damaged goods out of the box. And so what we need is a kind of spiritual boot camp. We need to get our appetites under the control of our will, and our will under the control of Christ. And so the disciplines of Lent are meant to do this. They're meant to draw us out of ourselves, to draw us away from the egocentrism of giving into our appetites all the time, to direct our attention to God through prayer and to others through almsgiving.
And how rigorous is it meant to be? I mean, is it our ancestors, our grandparents abstained from meat all week long, and it was quite a challenge, some of the physical things that had to be done during Lent. Is our Lent supposed to be rigorous?
A lot of the norms around Christian spirituality traditionally were based on the monastic experience. So they were really intended for those who were dedicated to religious life. And the spirituality of the laity did not come to be really considered until the time of, say, Francis de Sales and Thomas More. But adjustments were always made to the experiences of lay people. So there was a very high standard, but not everybody was meant to keep it to exactly the same degree, and adjustments have always been made. That's still the way it is in the Eastern Orthodox Church, and I have huge respect for my Eastern Christian friends, my Eastern Catholic friends, and my Eastern Orthodox friends who make a serious effort to give up all meat and all animal products, eggs, dairy, as well as oil and wine throughout the whole of Lent. I think they're allowed to have like oil and wine on weekends or something. But it's a daily sacrifice for them. Yes. For us, as Western Catholics, I fear that we have made the discipline of Lent far too easy. How difficult is Lent meant to be? It should be difficult enough to be uncomfortable. It should be difficult sure. enough that you have to think about it on a daily basis and make a sacrifice of your experience to God. I think that what we've done now with the one-hour Eucharistic fast and with abstinence on Fridays only and only during Lent, and in particular also with what we call our two fast days, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, you're still allowed to eat three times a day on the 2 days that we're expected to fast. I think our ascesis is too atrophied to really cost us anything, and I think that that's a problem.
Sure, that makes sense, Stephen. I mean, it's like if you were getting ready for a big sport event. I mean, you certainly would take much more rigorous attempt to prepare for that sporting event than many of us prepare for the most important time of year, which is the remembrance of Christ's passion and his resurrection. So I think you're right. We can all step it up a bit. And you actually encourage Register readers to step it up in an article you did called Mercy and Movies, Lenten Viewing for the Year of Mercy. And we're talking about this article here during Register Radio. So let's talk about what you're suggesting, because Pope Francis has actually asked us this Lent to dwell a little bit on mercy, the works of mercy. And you've been able to pull out some ways we can do that in our entertainment.
This is the year of mercy, and so this Lent is a special Lent. The fact that it occurs so early in the year, I think, is a special grace, because it gives us an additional time of preparation to spend the remaining months of the year of mercy in a new spirit. Many people for Lent turn away from the media or social media. They turn off their radios. Right. They turn off their televisions. They walk away from Facebook and the Internet. They stop watching television and movies. I think all that is fantastic. It's not something I can do with my
Me
job. I have to keep watching movies. But just as many people turn to spiritual reading during Lent, I try to turn to spiritual movie watching. And I did a piece a number of years ago for the Register called Into the Desert, in which I explored movies with spiritual themes that I find helpful in Lenten discipline. But for this year, because it's the year of mercy, I tried to call out a number of films that really draw us out of ourselves and focus on our involvement and our commitment to the lives of others. So, for example, in my list that I did 5 or 6 years ago, I started out with Integrate Silence, which is a great documentary about the Carthusian monks of the Grand Chartreuse in the French Alps. It's a beautiful, beautiful film about monastic life, and watching it is almost like a retreat in itself. On the other hand, these monks are very much in a world unto themselves. They're among the most eremitic or hermit-like orders in the Christian world, so they're much more on the isolated end of the spectrum. For this year, I recommended Of Gods and Men, which is also about monks and has some similarities to Integrate Silence. But the Trappists of Our Lady of Atlas in the Algerian Atlas Mountains during the Civil War in the 1990s, the film is based on a true story, are very much involved in the lives of the people around them. They live in a world in which there are Muslim extremists and then much more moderate and peaceful Muslims who have actually gravitated to the monastery, and a village has grown up at the feet of the monastery because the Muslim villagers look on that area as sacred to the Mother of Jesus, and the Mother of Jesus is someone that they revere, so they look up to the monks. They come to them with their medical needs, with bureaucratic needs, and they really regard the monks as their protectors. It's a fantastic, fantastic film of gods and men in any year, but especially in the year of mercy.
Yeah, it is definitely a stirring movie. This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking to Stephen Graydonis, and we're talking about movies that might enhance your Lenten experience. So, Stephen, there are about five more on that list that you've given us at the Register. What are the other five movies?
Three of them are actually films from the 1995 Vatican Film List. These include The Tree of Wooden Clogs from 1978. This is a beautiful film, one of my favorites, about it offers a depiction of life at the turn of the 20th century in rural Italy. It also depicts the role of the church in that society, and then also deals with the kind of economic and social injustices and inequalities that Pope Francis wants us to be concerned about this year in particular. Also, Monsieur Vincent, which depicts the life of St. Vincent de Paul, an amazing saint, and really the father of organized charity. Charity has always existed in Christian society and elsewhere, but St. Vincent de Paul really has the responsibility of founding the first institutions to carry on that work. Then the third one is The Gospel According to St. Matthew by Pier Paolo Pasolini. This is a beautiful Life of Christ film that tells the story of Jesus only using the dialogue from the Gospel of Matthew, and then, of course, also the pictures of Pasolini. It's really highlighted by the urgency of Jesus' message and his concern for the poor. The other two films are Romero, starring Raul Julia as Blessed Oscar Romero of El Salvador, very much like Pope Francis, a Latin American prelate who early in his career was considered a theological conservative, later noted as a crusader for social justice. And then finally, Sophie Scholl, The Final Days, great depiction of the last days in the life of the famous anti-Nazi intellectual resistance activist who was put to death by the Nazi regime.
Well, these really are a great set of films for us to dwell on during these weeks of Lent. Something that if we cannot give up entertainment or movies for Lent, to really to help us to find a way to enter in, because Pope Francis really has asked us to enter into this year of mercy, and sometimes these visual images really give us a chance to do that. So, Stephen, thanks for giving us this opportunity to understand a little better how we might live the year of mercy.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Again, you can find Deacon Stephen's Lenten movie picks at ncregister.com. Search Mercy and the Movies. And for more of Deacon Stephen's movie reviews, go to his website, decentfilms.com. Remember, for more news, analysis, and commentary, check out the National Catholic Register online at ncregister.com. Thanks for joining us on Register Radio here on EWTN. For our producer, Jeff Burson, I am Jeanette DeMello. Until next week, God bless.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.